Hi, everyone. It's Shauna the Tax Goddess. And today with me, I am so excited because I have one of my favorite super smart dude knows everything about international taxation and international trusts and international all the things. So everybody, please, wrong way, please welcome Brent. Brent is with Ryman. Brent, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, Brent Nelson. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I should start with that because you were very kindly invited me. So but Brent Nelson, I'm a partner at Ramon Law. It's essentially a virtual law firm. So you know, you think of
awesome.
Like, you know, old style law firms or like, you know, Suits or Sharks or whatever other show you want to see. And like, they're like walking down the hall, chatting with each other. We have none of those because it's virtual. We talk to each other this way. And just been practicing in one area, which is, as you describe, it's a lot of international transactions, tax work, private client work, meaning rich people work, and just trying to...
What was the sentence you told me the other day, which was my favorite sentence ever? Say it again.
Rich people law.
Yes! Guys, this is, you know, because you guys know that Tax Goddess specializes in reducing big, big, big tax bills, right? Like this, we're at, now we're at 423 million something. And we met Brent specifically because we have a client that is in Florida, but, you know, residents in Florida, living in Cancun, buying a Mexican gym. I mean, all sorts of things. And so rich people law was the best sentence I've heard forever.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brent.
That's pretty much what it is. Every day is different. Every day is definitely different for us, but it's fun. And kind of a lot of, you know, along the lines of what you and your group, it's a lot of like puzzle pieces, you know, you're like putting the pieces together so they all line up right. And everything that's supposed to function functions correctly, but from the legal perspective. And then we work with our clients, other advisors, because we don't know everything about everything. So we're not trying to, and we like to get all the good ideas and then use all those together. So,
yay. So fantastic. And so, of course, today we're going to be talking about Brent's ideas on optimizing your business to run without you. So, Brent, take it away because you've got some pretty cool, I mean, you're a smart dude, so of course, but you've got some pretty cool little tips and tricks here. So tell us all about it.
Yeah. And I guess I could dispel a few myths. One of them, I mean, some people might be like, well, this guy works at a law firm. What does he know about running a business? But, you know, really being a lawyer in private practice is running a business. And certainly on our platform, it is very much you're running a business. The firm kind of helps us out with a lot of the back office functionality for our business, but we're really the forward facing piece of the component. So this is an issue that I deal with a lot and that I think a lot about. And I do want to kind of set this up. Okay, so there's a couple premises here that I want everybody to get into their brains. Otherwise, what I'm about to talk about will not have the proper context. So number one, the first thing is you cannot possibly, no matter how hard you try, get your business to quote unquote set and forget, right? You cannot set it and forget it. If you're in business and you have set it and forgot it, you're not in business anymore. That's called ownership. That's not business, okay?
Yes.
There's a big difference between operating a business and owning a business. Owners don't operate. Yep. So if you're on the operations side, you cannot do that. So don't attempt to do that because it's just not possible and you'll drive yourself crazy, first of all.
Well, and you can, but be prepared to let it fall into the ground or disappear or whatever. So you can't run a good business by just walking away from it.
Yes, fair. Yes, that's a very, very fair summation. So that's the first thing, the first premise. The second premise is if you're dealing with human beings, okay, so you have clients or customers who are actual human beings, you will never be able to legislate out human behavior. And so no matter how hard you try to automate things and have systems and have procedures, human behavior will always be an element of your business that you cannot control, and it will throw you in directions that you never anticipated because that's how human beings are. And so that element never goes away. So also do not try to legislate for that and get rid of it entirely because you'll just drive yourself crazy.
And I totally want to hear one of the worst horror stories that you've ever had on that.
Oh boy. Well, not to throw anybody under the bus, but let me just say that when you're dealing with, say, family money, sometimes decisions are not being made on a rational basis. Decisions are being made on an emotional basis because it's not really about the money. We're really fighting about how we're grumpy that dad didn't like me as much as Susie, or, you know, Susie's mad that dad always liked Bob more than she. And you know, you can't legislate for that. So let me give you, so one example, this is very, very early on in my career. I had a case sort of just dropped in my lap and I was basically told like, here, just deal with this. And when I tell you why, you'll understand why somebody was just like, you deal with this. So this family had been fighting for years and they're fighting over mom's money. Mom had died. There were three kids and there were millions of dollars on the table. And we had agreed, of course, everybody had gotten their own lawyers and I represented one of the kids, right? So we had agreed on everything, how to split things and how to deal with things for everything, millions of dollars, okay, yeah. Except the coins. The coins. Now you like might be thinking, physical, well, maybe coins. This was like, yeah, like you'd be like, maybe this was like Spanish gold bullion or something like that. Yeah. No. These were just like a junk coin collection. Okay. It had almost no value, but it had very strong sentimental value in the family. And they spent tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees negotiating and fighting over the coins, even though there were millions of dollars on the table and we had dealt with all the millions. Okay. So that sort of behavior you cannot automate. I'm sorry. So don't try. Okay.
Got it.
So
okay.
That's the premise. That's the setup. So let me fill in the gaps here then. So that anybody listening to this is not like, well, do you have any useful information?
Oh,
here is some maybe useful information. Okay. So things that I do, these are kind of big picture things. And I do this on a continuous basis. Okay. Because for me, this is a process. It's a journey. Mm. And so you're always kind of really looking at, I'm always looking at these issues, trying to smooth out edges in our business. So number one is, to the extent that we can do it, we try to create forms for repetitive tasks, and try to create forms that minimize the amount of entry that goes into it. So obviously in the legal field, that's prevalent because you're creating legal documents. And so clients don't want you starting from a blank page every time, because that would be cost prohibitive. Right. But there are things that come up that maybe you don't do 100 of them in a year. Maybe you do 2 of them in a year. But if you're looking at it, you know, if you're looking at it just in the year, it maybe doesn't make sense to have the form. But if you're looking at it over a long time horizon, say 10 years, now that's 20.
Yep.
So save yourself the 19 times of creating that document and just have a form, and then have a system where you can easily populate the form. So it doesn't take a lot of time. And getting to my second point, always try, to the extent that you can, to push off work to somebody else that will free you up to do what it is that you're good at, whatever that happens to be in your business. Okay. And so if you have a system and forms, we'll say, and it could be something else, could be an application or a procedure, whatever it is in the context of your business that you have set up, and now you can push that effort off to somebody else. Number one, you've freed yourself up to do the higher value things, like build the business.
$1,000 an hour jobs, right? Guys. Absolutely.
That's what you need to do. And then you have to follow that up with constant is probably too strong a word, but consistent training for the person that you're using to help you out. Because ultimately, probably what you want is for them to be able to do the thing as good or better than you could do it.
Yep.
And if you don't give them the tools to do that, and they're just sort of floundering, because they may not have the same vision of your business as you do, right? You have more at stake than they do. So you have to kind of help them to get to some level that you're expecting. Well, you can't expect they're going to get there without training them. So you need to give that constant training. So it's a process of like pushing off things that you can push off in a systematic way, and then training the person that's receiving that so that they can do it as good or better than you could do it.
Love it.
And doing that on a constant basis and finding new ways to do that on a constant basis over time.
And so, you know, I feel like a lot of people, you know, they're hearing your advice, right? They're going, yeah, but there's so many things in my business. There's so many forms and there's so many pieces and there's just so many things. Like, there's no way I could train somebody all of that stuff. What do you recommend is like, what is step one?
Well, there's there's a big continuum. You're right. Oops. There's a big continuum between constantly looking over somebody's shoulder and giving them guidance so that they can then go be empowered to do it on their own. And I think you have to find whatever. Well, there's the dogs.
It's your tax deduction. It's your security tax deduction. That's my tax deduction.
The security system is working well. I'm sure it's something very dangerous.
Yes.
But you have to find like something that works for you and your business on that scale. And I mean, for me, in my business, I'm typically dealing with, say, other lawyers. These are smart people. They're high-skilled, high-functioning people. So they don't need me to look over their shoulder constantly. But they do need guidance. You know, sometimes they need something as granular as, we need to look at this issue. It's in this statute. It's in this regulation from me. Yeah. But I don't need to tell them how to do it from there. Then they need to be off and running.
They're smart enough to go figure it out. So this is really a twofold thing. One, make sure that you hire somebody that can learn, that wants to learn, that is smart and can receive education. And then, as you said, expand it and grow it so they become better than you at whatever it is. And two, have the patience to train. Because you've got to have the patience. If I have to go granular and I have to tell them it's in that statutory code, you can't blow up at the guy because they didn't know it in the first place. You got to have the patience or the willingness to have the patience to try to.
Yeah. You know what? That's such a good word too, patience. You really do have to have patience.
Yeah.
Somewhat to one of my initial premises here of, you got human behavior involved. So if, aside from customers and clients, people that you're working with are also human beings, and you cannot legislate for human behavior. Yep. And you have to be patient.
Yeah.
And it can sometimes take time for people to learn and develop and get the skills that you need them to have to do whatever the job is. And you can decide that you're only going to hire people who can walk in the door and do everything perfectly from day one. You could decide that. You are going to have a very long journey trying to hire people. Or...
And you're going to hire them and they're going to go, wait, I can do this better than you. Why am I looking for you? I'm out on my own. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have nothing to offer them other than money. So, or you can function like the rest of the world and actually hire people and try to build them up so that then they become part of your team and they learn how to do things the way that really, frankly, you want them to do it. So, which obviously is the right way.
Yay! I love it. Yeah, it's much, much easier to train, educate, model for them, you know, what kind of values are in your company? What do you really care about that you want them to, and you can look at that in hiring as well. You know, what are their values? What are your values? And are they aligning? Are we going the same direction for that? So very cool.
Yeah, totally. So I'm curious, Sean, if I can turn the tables on you from host to guest here. So what sorts of things do you think you would add to that you haven't added already to kind of those concepts of like building systems, pushing off work? Because I know you're really good at systems and kind of work structures. I mean, that's true. If people don't know that, they should know that. That's the truth.
With 62 people on staff, you kind of have to be.
Yeah.
So, that's so sweet of you. You know, I think the biggest thing that is going through my mind is when we hire someone, right? When we bring them into our team, everything you've just said, patience, training, education, make them feel like they're a part of the team. But one of the biggest things that we look at is really also giving them, you kind of talked about the power and the empowerment to do that. So when we bring somebody onto the team, we describe to them, listen, this is your job, your role, your world, okay? We want you to learn this role so that you can hire somebody under you to do the exact same thing. So you can train them, you can move up, you can get a team of 3 or 4 people under you now doing that stuff so that we can give you new projects, more exciting projects, better education. You can become a manager, right? So really, you know, that double fold layout of this is a path to a growth and a career and a lifetime for you if you want it, right? So that brings a certain kind of person, which we really like. But also, it massively helps systematize the company, because in order for somebody to train somebody else, they have to build a system. There has to be checklists and forms and training videos and, you know, whatever else it is that you need for that particular role. So in that process, they now build it for you. After you've given them that education, they're now building it out. As you said, they're making it even better. They're coming up with even better ideas, things that you would never have thought of. So I think giving people that empowerment to really take it on their own. And, you know, you're kind of, as you said, kind of giving them that guiding hand, like, I've tried that decision before. That one didn't work out so well. What other options do we have? And letting them come to you. I mean, they're smart. You hired them because they're smart. So let them do their thing, you know? So.
Yeah. I love that. No, I love that. I think you're spot on. And it's pretty obvious if you've, you know, because you've built a team as big as you have that you guys do that pretty well. And I think there's a tendency for people who are in business. And I say sort of like people in business. And what I really mean by that is entrepreneurs to try to build something bigger. You almost have to let go of the thing that got you to where you are, in the sense that usually when you're an entrepreneur early on, you're everything, right? You have to do everything. Yep. But there's an inflection point where literally to grow, you have to like release the grip. You know, you're just like, you're holding on so tightly, you know, you're like the monkey with the candy in the cage, you know, like you're holding on so tightly. Yeah. You have to learn to let go and trust people and have that patience and build those systems like we've been talking about.
And realize you're going to get burned. It's going to happen. It's part of the learning process. So if you get burned once and then you're like, okay, well, I'm never, ever, never, ever doing that again, you can't grow. You cannot, right? Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite pieces of advice that someone once gave me way early in this whole journey was, every time you double, systems are going to break. So when you go from one person to two people, right? Well, you can't just have a conversation in your head anymore about what you're going to do. Now you have to explain it. You have to systematize. You have to create the thing. Well, when you go from 2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16, 16 to 32, every time you double in size, a system, something is going to break because it wasn't built for that size team, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do, it was actually the other question that was in my mind is, you know, I see way too many entrepreneurs, they're solopreneurs, it's just them. And they know that they need to get help and delegate, not abdicate, but delegate, right? And really, in order for them to grow, but they've tried it, they got burnt, and now they're freaked out. And they just kind of go into paralysis, right? Like, well, now what do I do? I'm going to get burnt again, and I'm going to waste money or lose sleep or lose a client. You know, I mean, that's terrifying to a solopreneur, right? What's your biggest piece of advice to the solopreneur who's freaking out and doesn't know what to do?
Well, the answer to the question, I think, is yes, all of that could happen. All of that absolutely could happen. Yeah. And I think it's Gary Vaynerchuk sometimes says that being a business owner is equal parts incredibly exciting, equal parts terrifying. And if it isn't, then you're really not in business. So yes, you always have those risks. But I think if you're focused in too much on those short-term risks, then you've lost the vision that you need to have, which is much more long-term, because you have to have an idea of like, where are we headed in a broader, more global, from a more global perspective. Then yes, the little bumps along the road, they're just part of this broader, more global vision, and they're not as bad. They're going to happen. Clients might not like. I had a practice that was at a more traditional law firm. I changed to this sort of virtual law firm. I had some clients who couldn't handle it. They wanted to, you know, be able to walk into the office and talk to the receptionist and talk to the secretary and sit down in the conference room. And we weren't offering that anymore, and they left us. And that's just part of the process for us. So, you know, rather than losing sleep over those sorts of things, and it's not fun. I mean, lawyers are competitive. So of course, you know, we want to keep every client, but you know, I know rationally that that's never going to happen. Yeah. Rather than losing sleep over it, it's just like, well, this is part of the journey that we're on, and we're headed in a different direction. And ultimately, if we believe in ourselves, it's going to be a better direction, and we'll be better off.
Yep. just heard the statement the other day. Absolutely love it, right? I build my life to attract what I want. I don't chase, right? And whatever's supposed to be in my life is in my life. So great. The clients that want, I mean, we're digital too. The clients that want digital, that are okay doing Zoom and learning online and doing these things, great. Perfect fit for you. Perfect fit for us, right? If you want to walk into a brick and mortar, honey, you'll never find me. It's not happening. So if you want to work with a goddess and a god of tax, international tax law, right? You got to be digital, clearly. So all of it. Brent, this has just been such a pleasure. You are so sweet to be here today. How does everyone find you if they've got questions and want to speak with you?
Well, you can go to RimonLaw.com, RimonLaw.com, or just Google me, Brent Nelson. You'll find me. I'm a lawyer. There's not a lot of Brent Nelson lawyers. I'm all over social media at Wealth and Law, all spelled out. We've got a podcast. We're on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram. And so we're everywhere. So they should be able to find me somewhere in the internet webs the world. Yeah.
Well, and of course, for anybody watching, we will put all the contact information we have for Brent down in the show notes below. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. And of course, if you need tax help or now international tax law help, you can, of course, reach out to Tax Goddess and we will also connect you with Brent. So Brent, this has just been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, the pleasure's mine. Thank you, Shauna. I appreciate it.
Have a wonderful day, everybody.